He knows that I've been concerned for some time and had an overwhelming feeling of some things taking place, going to take place, and this certain thing has kind of come to me to, I believe it's what I need to say now. But I would like to, everybody stand and recite the Ten Commandments. I think every now and then it's good to do that. So if y'all wouldn't mind doing that. We start with number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Thank you, Lord. Now, I guess to open, I would like to read one verse. Just I guess you'd say the key verse to start. And that verse is Jeremiah 17:1. This verse just keeps coming back to me over and over. The sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. Now that's only half of that statement. It goes on, say the semicolon, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves with the green trees from the high hills. Now this is, you know, Jeremiah's been, he's, where this is in context, that there's a lot of crazy stuff going on, a lot of false worships, and the groves are where they have their ceremonies and stuff. But and he goes into a lot of prophecy about what's coming, warning people to repent and stuff. But this verse, you know, the sin of Judah is written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond. It is graven upon the table of their heart and upon the horns of your altars. What I've been thinking about real dominant is, you know, we trust in the minds of men ourselves, those around us. We trust in our government and our leaders at work, our political leaders, aldermen, mayor. And this country, America, the United States of America, a republic, a union of states, represents what is the greatest nation, in my opinion, that has ever existed in all of mankind. Freedoms, our very Constitution, you know, it's inclusive of God, dependent upon God. And to me, the devil hates this nation more than he's hated any other nation ever to exist. Because our nation was founded on God and the principles of freedom, of equality, by people who were prepared to defend themselves, you know, defend this with their very lives, and did, in fact, and have been along the way. But along the way, this country's forgotten where it's come from. It's forgotten its founding principles. Now, I won't even say it's forgotten, because a lot of this country knows the founding principles and has turned away. Now, I believe there's a difference in significance of what you've forgotten and what you've turned away from. Now, all throughout Israel's history, what happened? Well, God chose a people. He blessed them. Told them they would be as many as the sands, stars in the sky. There's a lot of people out there, wasn't it? And it has been a lot of people. What happened, though? They turned away. Got good, they turned away, you know. Went to false gods. Corrupted themselves. Polluted their belief system, their ceremonies. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what I think. Here's what I think. I believe there's a God. He's at large. He's in charge. He always has been. He always will be. It's His way or the highway. There's no other way. That always with God has been Jesus, the voice. And that by Jesus, all things were created. And that they've always been together. It's just the way it's always been. For me, that's not complicated to understand. Now, God decided He's going to, Jesus, they decided they're going to build a planet, a system. Call it what you want to. And He created a man. And He put that man on this planet. And He says, I'm going to love that man. Well, yeah, He created a world for that man. A beautiful world. I don't think it was a, you know, one little garden on this rock. I think the world, the earth, was Eden. Because it says east in Eden, He planted a garden special. Why? So He could fellowship. He could go out and interact with that man. That man could serve Him and love Him. And God could then serve and love him too, because God serves and loves us as well. Now, He is the Master. There is a difference. But we were created for a purpose and for a reason. Now, the man was lonely. So He created the man a mate. Somewhere along the line, the devil, Satan, Lucifer, whatever you want to call him, all pretty, voice, sweet as anything, may have been created to whisper into God's ear how beautiful God was. Who knows what his original design was? I mean, there's a lot of different degrees, but the thing of it is, he thought he was so much of that, that he was better than God. Who knows? He may have even been the first angel created by God and Jesus. I mean, evidently he had to be pretty something to it, because he thought he was tough enough to take on God and replace God. And he convinced 1/3 of the angels who were in the presence of God. Now, if we're buddies for a long time, right? Growed up, went through hard stuff. And I know who you are and what you're capable of. Somebody comes along and whispers sweet things in my ear and pulls me away from my camaraderie with you. That's one thing. Somebody goes up to somebody else and convinces them I'm a certain way. That's something different in it. These angels were in the presence of God. So don't think the devil is your adversary is somebody not to be worried about. What does it say? We battle not against the flesh, but against powers and principalities. So what did the devil do? He go to Adam and say, "Hey, Adam, bud, look, come here. I want you to go over here to this tree, which I know, you know, God told you couldn't have that fruit. Big deal. One thing, God. What's the one thing? You know, he didn't go to Adam, did he? No, he didn't. I personally believe that Adam could not have been tempted by Lucifer, Satan, devil, whatever you want to call him, with the fruit. Adam would have said, "No, get away, go on, hit the road, bud." He knew better. He had seen God create things. God had brought him into the garden and pulled these creatured animals and then Adam named them. I mean, he'd seen the full-on power of God. Pretty much everything was already there. And I'm not bashing women. I'm just saying this is the way. There's a point here. Eve didn't see all that, did she? She come along, it's all good. Hey, all right. Adam, you got a cool pad here. I like it. We just eat what we want, do what we want. As long as we don't go eat that fruit. The devil come at her. When she went to Adam, what did Adam say? "Oh, man, I don't know, Eve. You know, we wasn't supposed to do that, were we?" "No, I don't." Okay. That was it. How many times do Christians, here's my point, how many times do Christians face things that would not be a temptation to them at all? "Hey, it ain't even nothing to it. I'm not going to do that. Get out of here. Go away." But then the devil comes through your wife, through your husband, through your kids, through your parents, through your neighbors.
Okay.
Every one of us have eaten that fruit willingly. And I'm going to tell you that I personally believe many times without much even care, concern, or thought about it. So we deserve death. We deserve by what we've earned. You might as well went to the store and said, "Give me a ticket to hell. I'm paying for it right now." We're sinful, carnal creatures desiring to do sinful, carnal things of the flesh. Well, we just kind of messed things up, didn't we? Sure we did. God said, "Okay, that's cool. I didn't mean what I said." No, God didn't say that, did he? Kicked them out. They got some curses going on there. Death was imposed by mankind's decision and choice. Because it's always, always been about choice. Every single person has choice. Every moment of our life is a choice. Now, what do? We learn from that lesson, right? Adam and Eve said, "Oh man, goodness, there's God. You know, he's serious about this. When I tell you don't do something, don't do it." And we got a second choice, a second chance, right? No, it's like these dudes, you're going to jail. You know, man, they caught me. I spoke in that store. They had the alarm system, and I thought I had it, but then they had that new thing. Well, here's their buddy over here. Their new buddy says, "You know, I know how to do them systems." They learn a little bit different. Then they get out, and what do? They don't say, "Thank you, Lord, for my second chance and my new life. Whew. Had a wreck. Almost got killed, but I'm good. I'm going to make something right." No, I can get by with it this time. Many times we go, that's the flesh telling you that you just got to do things a little bit different next time, right? You just got to work a little bit, you know, different angle. That's the flesh. Every moment is a choice, and every choice is a second chance. Sin. Transgression of the law. Laws. Well, there starts it right there, doesn't it? You want to know where to start with a law thing? Hey, how about starting with the ones that God Himself wrote with His own finger on stone? I think that might be just a little bit important, right? You know, some of my personal beliefs. I believe the Sabbath is hallowed. It's special and should be treated as such. It's not like the first day, the second day, the fifth day, the sixth day, the third or the fourth, is it? No, it's not. Why? Because God Himself said it wasn't. He sanctified it. I'm going to tell you, if you want to know what God wants you to do, well, if you don't know how to read, I'd get somebody to read it to you and then learn how to read it so you can read it for yourself. But if you do know how to read, which most people I'm pretty sure that I've met do, start reading the book. I believe that it's inspired by the Word of God. And I believe it makes it clear what pleases God, what He wants you to do. Now, I would recommend starting with the things that were God said. If God says, I find this to be an abomination, well, I figure it's probably an abomination. Well, no, I can't say that. I figure it is an abomination. Not no probably to it. God hallows something, I think it's hallowed. God sanctifies something, sets it apart, I think it sets it apart. The feast days, you know, to me, when it talks about perpetual covenant, forever and ever, throughout your generations, I don't know. Maybe there's a time limit on that it's just not talking about. Now, I'm going to tell you what I think, and what I think is this. I think that this country is in for a bad time. I believe that we're fixing to have a number of things that are going to happen. I think we're going to have weather-related issues. I think it's going to affect their crops. Of course, everybody knows gasoline prices go hand-in-hand with everything else, and everything else goes hand-in-hand with those prices. But I want to read Jeremiah 17 and verse 5 and 6. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the hearth in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh. He shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. What is that? That sounds really weird, doesn't it? Let me tell you something. That sounds pretty bad. Parched places, the desert, salt, where to land. A cursed man, number of places in the Bible it tells you and speaks that it's not a good thing. Of course, anywhere typically it tells you the cursed man. It goes on to say in 7 and 8, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. What? For what? He's the opposite of those things. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. For her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Now we're going to go to, Jesus was asked about the end times. What's the day of the Lord going to be like? And I want to read two places. No, we're not. We're going to go to Joel 2. We're going to read 1 through 17. And I'm going to rip through this pretty quick. So pay attention lest I ask you a question about what I just wrote. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the Lord tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess. A day of clouds and of thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong, there hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness, yea, and nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and horsemen. So shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained. All faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men. They shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his ways. And they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path. And when they fall upon the ice sword, on the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run up on the wall. They shall climb up on the horses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth will quake, shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the light stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter His voice before His army. For His camp is very great. For He is strong that executeth His word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. And who can abide it? Now that's Joel. Now you got to remember, back in Joel's day, real quickly, a bunch of locusts come along, eat up all the crop. What the locusts didn't eat, the cankerworm come along and eat. Then after the cankerworm, the caterpillar eat. I mean, they was hurting. It was a drought. It was a famine. People were in a sore way. Joel comes along and he said, listen, you know, and paraphrase real quickly, just you got a hard thing on you. It's going to get harder. Repent. Turn from your evil ways. Return to the ways of old. Seek ye the truth and the light while the light is to be sought. You know, that message that we've had ever since the beginning of time. Now we're going to jump over to Mark chapter 13 and verse 5. Here we find Jesus is speaking with a number of His followers. And they're asking you questions about stuff. And He's giving them answers, all right, about different things. Of course, a couple of times He kind of chastises them a little bit, gets on them about some different stuff. And of course, He kind of gets on with their arrogance about how beautiful the temple is, and He's like, see this? This building's going to be tore down. Stone's going to be removed from stone. And they're all asking, well, Master, when's this going to happen? And that's where this is His response takes up. Jesus now says this. Take heed lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in My name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And when you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, be ye not troubled, for such things must needs be. But the end shall not be yet. Now, listen, I don't know about you, but there's been a lot of people claiming to be Christ, Messiah, a new godlike being. You know, we've just got religion after religion that has popped up in our history. And, you know, there's been quite a few of them. And it hadn't all turned out real well for a number of them. Jim Jones, David Koresh. And we've got some that are really, and just to name a few examples of things that didn't turn out real well. Now, I'm not saying that what they believed was right or wrong. I know that it didn't turn out well. But I will tell you this, I think there are a lot of vile, corrupted, and in my opinion, despicable religions out there. Nasty apostate beliefs that I think are in direct conflict, 180 degrees out of what God has said in this, His sanctioned word. But that's just me. It's all about freedom, right? And choice. We all pay. All right, well, you know, we have rumors and the wars and rumors of wars, no biggie. We've always had that, right? Even though it gets worse, generation to generation. For nation shall rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be earthquakes in divers places. There shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. Well, earthquakes in divers places, would that be, you know, deep in the ocean, some of these fault lines we have? things like that possibly. I mean, I'm not going to say this is the end of time and you need to repent now and be baptized and be saved. Yeah, I am, I believe. Because whether or not it's the end of time, for the end of time, it could be your end of time, your last day. This could be your last great day. This could be your day of the Lord. So, yeah, I don't think anybody would say that it would be wrong to say that. So, repent. Go and sin no more. Isn't that what Jesus said to people? And the gospel must first be published among all nations. Now, this is, you know, prophecy, even back from Joel. That prophecy has been fulfilled. And then later in Acts, Peter alludes to that prophecy being fulfilled as well when he's spreading the word. I can't imagine that any nation on this planet has not had this word translated into their language. And especially with the internet and now all digital, as things begin to speed up and accelerate in this downward spiral, that one you check off the list, I believe. But when they shall lead you and deliver you up, take no thought beforehand what you speak. Neither do you premeditate, for whatsoever shall be given you in that hour, that speak ye. For it is not ye that speak, but the Holy Ghost. Now the brother shall betray the brother to death, and the father the son, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and shall cause them to be put to death. Can you do that? Could you do that? Sam? Turn against your mother, have her arrested, put in jail because of her beliefs. Says it's going to happen. Friend against friend, neighbor against neighbor. It says it's going to happen. It will happen. That doesn't mean it's going to be you that does it, but it doesn't mean it's not going to be you that does it. Here's a question I'd like to pose to you. In the time of the end, when it says many will suffer for my name's sake, you're hiding just to pray. We're not arguing over clean and unclean meats. We're not arguing as Christians, as a Christian religion, a group of people. We're not going to be arguing over which day's the Sabbath. We're not going to be arguing over all these little bitty tenet twists that tear this body of Christians and pull it in different directions. There's going to be a day coming when you claim Jesus Christ as your Savior and by His blood you get forgiveness. When you claim that, you're going to be in together with everybody else. But it's going to be bad. You're sitting in a room in a chair with your hands handcuffed behind you or strapped behind you. And somebody sticks a gun to your head. Renounce your God or I will kill you. What are you going to do? Well, that ain't never going to happen. How do you know? We've hung people in our history. We burned them. We beat them. We sunk them underwater. We, us human beings, have done this thing to each other. Why would it not possibly happen to you? How about this one? Renounce your God, or I'm killing your sister. I'm killing your mother. I'm killing your brother, your sister, your son. I hope and pray that if I was in that situation, I had to close my eyes and say, I'll see you on the other side, Sam. I hope and pray that that's going to be my answer. Now, does that mean I don't love my daughter? Does it? Does it? What about, Noah getting on the ark? Do y'all not even pretend to think that he didn't have nephews and nieces? Other kids, maybe? Doesn't say he didn't have them. I'm sure he had brothers and sisters. Well, gosh, I don't know. They're all going to die. He got on the ark anyway, didn't he? Because of his love of God. Because of his trust in God. Because he believed God. But I can tell you what you can do. You can take this book and you can close it. Put it in a bag. Put it on a box. Put it on your table. Do whatever you want to with it. In the end, it's just paper with ink. But in the end, maybe God's going to ask you why you didn't read it. Why you didn't think about what you read. And I tell you, I'm the least worthy at all. I've sinned. It's hard. I stumble every day. I get mad. And if it were not for God, who so loved me that he sent Jesus, his only son who had been with him forever, to feel as a human feels, live as a human lives, and not sin, and watch him be tortured and beat to death, and to take on all of the sin of the world, every bit of it, freely, and to die all alone. That's a lot of love God has for us, isn't it? It's a lot of love Jesus has for us. But were it not for that, what would be the point? Right? What would be the point? We'd just be dumb animals. Well, smart animals wearing nice clothes, driving nice cars. Still, what would be the point? I don't see how people out in the world make it. I struggle. But I believe life is precious. I believe in the sanctity of life. I don't mind telling you. I don't mind telling you that I think abortion is wrong. It's murder. Now, I'm not minding your business or anybody else's business. But I can tell you what I believe. I don't really see that, you know, it's a whole lot in there with what I've read. Life is precious. But guess what? What does it matter if you live to be 10 or if you live to be 100? In that final moment of your life. What is it I told the kids? It's kind of like kids at school. Here we are. Here's our life. We're taking a test. The teacher's standing right there, knows all the answers, and will give you the answers if you just ask. Sands of your life ticking away. There goes the clock. There goes the sands. Oh, I'm struggling. What was that? There's the teacher standing there. I know. I can give that to you freely. The sand is going to last. Grain is going to fall. The last tick is going to clock. Time up, pass the test up. You give it. It's going to be graded. It's going to be pass, fail. We didn't ask. It's not us. I believe that there are bad times coming. I think people are going to starve. They're going to get sick because it all goes hand in hand. And I believe at the same time, that don't matter. Because if we've got salvation, we're going to endure. Stephen, God didn't come down and save Stephen, did he? Sam, did God save Stephen from being stoned? No, he didn't, did he? He let him get beat to death with a bunch of rocks. Well, there's one that didn't go on the side with the three Hebrew children, maybe. I don't know. That's a good story. That's a really good story. But I think Stephen's story is just as good, if not maybe even better. But it ended differently, didn't it? Stephen died. He was not saved. He was not healed. He was not lifted out of that place and moved somewhere else. Anybody know anything about history? Guess what? People have died. Read some of that little revelation where it talks about the souls of the martyrs under the altar before God in His immediate presence. But I tell you what, Stephen had it right, didn't he? Yeah, he did. He got to see a vision into heaven. What I'm telling you is one of these days you may be faced with that. Yeah? But I'm also telling you that you're faced with it every moment of your life. It's a choice. And if we don't get out and do something, you know, I'll be honest, I don't know what to do no more than anybody else. The Lord's still working on me, but I'm telling you, He's working on me. But the world is in a bad place and it's going to get worse. And if we don't prepare ourselves, there's no hope for us. But I'm telling you, there is hope and we can prepare and we should. We need to get out and do something. We need to spread the word like Jesus' final commission. He didn't say all this stuff. He didn't give a whole long list of rules and regulations. They were taught. They were taught every day by Him. They knew what to pass around. The bottom line was the way. Tell them a way is there. Jesus is His name. And the rest, we'll leave to God. I don't know, I appreciate y'all listening to me, and I don't know, if you can think of something we can do, let me know. I love church.